do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And yes, we started about 7 minutes early. I do not know why. I just happened to be sitting here, and on came the Everly Brothers with Problems, and hopefully this is not a problem, but what the heck? It gives me an extra, it gives us an extra 5 to 7 minutes to enjoy the day, talk about things, and hopefully I'm not cut off going into something here soon. But hey, I was here. Our North Korean equipment did something, and I don't know what it is. I'm not a North Korean equipment engineer, nor do I pretend to be one on the radio. But hey, welcome a little bit early. It's just me in the studio today. If you have anything on your mind, please give a call. Let's talk about it. Today's a Tuesday. Politics Day is what I try and keep it at. So, here we go. The primary election is on August 18th, 2026. I'm not going to have any gubernatorial candidates on between now and then because any time I give a gubernatorial candidate time, I got to give it to all 17 members of the gubernatorial candidates. I will not be having any United States candidates for the U.S. Senate on the radio because I have to give equal time to the 16 that are running for the U.S. Senate. I will not be giving any time to a U.S. state representative vote running for Congress. Why? Because then I would have to give equal time to 15 members, candidates who are running for that. And that's just too much to take care of, to keep track of. So I'm kicking them all off the island. That's right. I'm cooking them all off the island. But what the heck? Now, I am doing something, though. I started yesterday with past Senator Pete Kelly, past House Member Pete Kelly, and it's called Dave's Lottery. And it's the gubernatorial primary is on August 18th. Monday, June 1st was a candidacy sign-up date. Saturday, June 27th was a withdrawal deadline. Voter registration has to be done by Sunday, July 19th, 2026. Any absentee mail requests must be in by August 8th, 2026. Any absentee by electronic transmission must be Monday, August 27th, 2026, which is the day before. So it doesn't matter. You know, I believe in open, fair, honest elections. Like to see it. Everyone should get a chance to vote. Simple as that. We don't try and suppress voting, but we also try and make sure that those who are allowed to vote get to vote. Those who are not allowed to vote should not get to vote. So in Dave's Lottery, I am taking bets, placement, we should say, on the final four that go into the final round of the general election. Now, I'm going to be asking for people to call in the number 1, 2, 3, 4, the rank in which they finish, first, second, third, and fourth. Sort of like picking the trifecta, but the quadfecta here on KFAR Radio. And what the heck? So yesterday, Pete Kelly was my first person. And for anyone who gets it right, and I don't know what the odds are, I'm not. I don't gamble, but I'm having a lottery. If whoever does get it right, or those who get it right, first, second, third, and fourth, on August 26th, a Wednesday, join me. I think it's a Wednesday. Who knows? Anyway, maybe we're going to do it Thursday or the Tuesday after. But the Tuesday after, yeah, we'll do it the Tuesday after the election. That way most of the absentee ballots are in. And we're going to all go for pizza at Bobby's, who are wonderful people. And they are also sponsors of my Fairbanks Foodie Show. So we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. If you have a thought of who would be a good answer to this. Now, who is running for election in the gubernatorial? There's only the gubernatorial. We have Tom Begich with a lieutenant governor candidate of Julia Hnilcha. You know, hey, guess what? It's not an easy name to say. Then we have Click Bishop and Greta Schurch. And if I get these wrong, hey, no offense taken, I hope, because none was given. Then we have Dave Bronson and Josh Church. Then we have Adam Crum and Bob Craig. Then we have Edna DeVries and George Hightower. Then we have Meta DeWitt and Christopher Steer. Then we have Michael Gilbert and Matt Halala. Excuse me. Michael Gilbert with Tim Hickle. Wonder if that's any relation to Bernadette Wilson. She's a grandniece of Wally Hickle. That should be interesting. And they're both certified Republicans, so hey, that could be a family affair. Then we have Matt Halala and Jesse Sumner. And we have Shelley Hughes and Blake Geddes. Then we have Jonathan Kreese Tompkins and Zach Johnson. Then we have Henry Kroll, he goes by Hank, and Tommy Nicholson. Then we have Liesl McGuire and Sarah Rasmussen, two House members, and maybe, I think Liesl might have made it to the Senate, I don't remember. But anyway. Then we have James Parkin and Ramdani Greer. Then we have Destry Payne and Cliff Silvers. And we have Treg Taylor and Candy English. And we're coming into Bill Walker and Randy Hoffbeck. And we have Bernadette Wilson and Michael Schauer. And we had Matt Klayman withdraw. So this is a reason why you should be voting yes on number two to in ranked choice voting in three different races. You have 45 candidates to pick one of, and don't want to hear the thing, we get more choices. You get a choice anyway. You only get to pick one in the preliminary round of four, and simple as that. So in the senator race, interesting people. You have David Leslie. He's a what I would call a unique specimen as an individual from Fairbanks. He's running, registered Democrat. You have the Daniel J. Sullivan Jr. You have Mary Petola. Then you have Dan S. Sullivan, and they have him registered Republican and incumbent. They have Dan Sullivan Jr. They don't have anything next to him from party affiliation because he's all over the board, it seems like, and they have to distinguish between him and the current sitting U.S. Senator. Then you have Mary Pattola, a registered Democrat. And you have David Leslie, a registered Democrat. And those are the, well, I know three of them. I don't know David Leslie, except for unique letters to the editor and stuff like that. I don't know Mary, nor have I met Mary. I know Senator Sullivan very well. I do not know Daniel J. Sullivan Jr. at all. In U.S. House of Representatives, we have, again, 15. And the only person there that I recognize his name is a sitting incumbent, which is Nick Begich. I don't foresee a change out in that one. So, we have 17 people running for governor. And let's go through who I think have the potential to be the top four. These are not people I like or I want to win. These are people I think have the name recognition to get through it and be on the final ballot. Whether they are or not, you know, only time will tell. Simple as that. And also those who have gained a lot of name recognition over the last 6 months to a year. Because this all started a year ago, if you look at it. My goodness. There's, what, 40, 45 days left? And, you know, for me it started July 4th. After July 4th, no one's on. Sorry. Got a request this morning. Had to say no. Just the way it is. And that's the way it is. Can you imagine me trying to keep track of 17 gubernatorial candidates, the time they've been on the air, 16 U.S. Senate candidates, and 15 U.S. House Representative candidates? I think not. So, from order of last name, we'll go through them, who I think has a chance. First up is Tom Begich. He started out as the only Democrat. And since then, you know, about four others have come in. But he has good name recognition, not because of him, because of his brother and his nephew and his dad. You know, I don't remember seeing him doing anything significant. But, hey, he's got the name recognition. I wonder how many other Begiches are on different ballots. Every year there's a Begich on the ballot. What a combination. Okay, then we have Click Bishop. He's got very strong identity in the interior with labor and native groups. So he might be one of the final four. We have Dave Bronson, Republican, past mayor of Anchorage. So no matter what, whether you agreed with him as an Anchorage mayor or not, he's got strong name recognition. Adam Crum, not moderate name recognition, but strong candidate because he was a commissioner of both Health and Social Services and the latest commissioner of revenue. Very well thought of by most people. Okay, then we have Matt Halala. Matt is probably the hardest working candidate I've seen. And, you know, coming from zero to up to speed, I don't know if he's going to be in the top four, but he's a dark horse contender. Some people ask me, you know, about Jonathan Kreese Tompkins. He's the state legislator. He goes by JKT out of Ketchikan. Nope, he's might be known down there, but he's not going to pick up enough Democratic. He was always an independent. He said he's a strong Democrat. And I just don't think he's going to be picking up enough votes. So he's not on the final six or whatever. Okay. Then you have, going through my list here, Treg Taylor, Attorney General. Just like Adam Crum, you know, Treg was Attorney General, did a great job. You know, how many times, when you are suing the Biden administration once every 3 weeks to stop environmentalist takeover of the state of Alaska lands, you're going to get a lot of name recognition. He did a great job at it, too. So good on him. Then you have Bill Walker. Hey, past governor. He's ran for governor, I think, this is his fourth or fifth time in. So he's going to have strong name recognition. Where he's going to pull from, don't know. A lot of independents maybe, some Democrats. So that'll take away from, I think his candidacy takes away from Begich. And then finally is Burnett Wilson. Also, like Matt Halala, independent, never elected anything. Strong Republican, very conservative. She's got a strong base. So she comes in with a strong base early, and she's leading a lot of the conversations. And also, you know, you're going to have, you know, how many people here that are running have not been elected to anything? Because there's this, I think that might be a strength in regards to getting one or two people in the final four. Because a lot of people are just mad at incumbents or past incumbents. So therefore, you know, Adam Crum, Treg Taylor, Bernadette Wilson, Matt Halala, they have a strong chance to be one out of the final four right in there. So anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to finally take a break. We've been on the radio here for 22, 23 minutes. I'm getting hoarse already. Again, if you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Your child is sick. And with those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Healing begins with happiness. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation provides programs to hospitalized kids to deliver happiness when it matters most. Learn more at starlight.org.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Shane Miller of Fairbanks, and you're currently leading the derby with a 184.6-pound halibut, and you become pretty famous when you bring a big fish to port. So tell me about your derby weigh-in experience when you came back with this big fish.
Honestly, it was surreal for me because I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, I grew up in like a very small town, but it wasn't a fishing town, so we didn't get anything exciting like that happening. So getting off the dock, you know, people taking your picture, or the radio walking up to you, and everybody asking you 1,000 questions, you almost feel like you're walking down the red carpet, even though it's a fishing dock. it's crazy, and it was a surreal moment for sure.
And Shane, what do you do for a living?
We do in-home healthcare over here in Fairbanks.
Oh, nice. And so do you fish often?
I fish on pretty much a weekly basis down in like the Chena or the Birch Lake area. sometimes go down to Delta, and then we do our annual trip to Valdez for halibut and salmon.
All right, and why Valdez?
My best friend, he went there first, and he had a great experience there, and then that was my first charter as well, my first time on the open water, so it's just kind of where we go to just remake those memories.
Sure, the fishing is great in Valdez, but we also have opportunities to get outside and explore. Enjoy unbelievable views on one of our many hiking trails, kayak the Sound, book a glacier tour, or learn about Valdez's rich history at one of our many museums. Stop by our visitor center on Fairbanks Drive for advice on everything Valdez. Discover more at ValdezAlaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 82, winds out of the east around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows level off around 55. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here, and I have Craig Koppel on the phone. How you doing, Craig?
Hey, I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you have a good 4th of July?
Did, yep. Pulled the kids around on the inner tube at the lake. And kids just had a ball. Had a big old barbecue family get together, watched the big parade out there, boat parade. Yeah, I had a good time. It was nice weather. It was nice.
So, are you ready to play Dave's Lottery?
Dave's Lottery, yeah. Guessing who's going to be our next governor, that one?
No. You're going to give me the four candidates you believe are going to make it to the final four and their position, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh.
So
now,
this is
just a prediction of the placement, not necessarily a preference or anything, right?
No preference. Know who you want, who you think would be good. Nothing. This is. Now I've got about seven or eight. I've got about seven or eight people I think that could be, and it's basically Tom Begich, Click Bishop, Dave Bronson, Adam Crum, Matt Halala, Treg Taylor, Governor Walker, and Bernadette Wilson. So,
yeah.
Who's your 1, 2, 3, and 4? What do you think?
Okay. All right, so Begich.
That doesn't mean you have to like your pick. Don't worry.
No, but these are my picks. These are my, right? These are, yeah.
These are your guesses. These are not who you want or who you'd vote for or who you've given money to.
Begich, the first three are B's. Begich, Bronson, Begich, Bishop, Bronson, and... Bernadette. I guess they're all bees.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my four. And one of those four.
What the heck's going on here? You never got a B to save your life in high school. It's always a C minus to a D. And don't ask me how I know that.
If there was, I thought of three other. I mean, Crum and Taylor certainly belong up near the top. I think you're right there. And I think they could definitely be a four, three or four. But
yeah,
there's some good people running, Dave. And
you don't
agree with everybody on everything. I'm sure there's probably something I agree with Begich on. I don't know.
Good luck with that.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow him that close. I know I'm not voting Democrat. But anyway, yeah, those are mine. So we'll see how I pan out. That's this pizza party at Bobby's, huh?
Yeah, for those who are first, second, third, and fourth. If you don't, you can join us, but you're on your own in buying. Simple as that.
Yeah.
But, what the heck? How often do I get to have a lottery?
Yeah, no, that's right. Dave's Lottery. Yeah. So you got the, what's your license number?
1007.
Yeah.
Then I have an F period, U period.
Have you seen I know you've probably heard about the Trump's investments in the kids with Dell. Dell donated
$5 billion,
which I think is actually brilliant what they're doing. They're trying to start an investment account. You can contribute it to it as a relative and everything else. I like the idea, but what I really liked was, did you see what the tax code number is?
No.
45-47. I'm not kidding. Yeah, tax form number 45-47. You can get that filled out for your infant, and then they can start an investment account. I think it's brilliant.
So tell me about your thoughts on initiative number two, the ranked choice voting it.
Oh, there's no doubt. So
vote yes on it then. You want it to be gone.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Stop the mess, vote yes. That's Will Sapp's tag that little jingle, but that's it. Vote yes to get rid of it. And again, it's going to be confusing for people that aren't engaged, don't stay in touch of it, and they're all going to think, "Oh, no, I don't want that. I'm going to vote no." Yeah. You want to vote yes on this one, and here's what I recommend. Remind all your friends on voting day or the week before voting day that you need to vote yes on two to get rid of it. Send them a text, send them a list, send them whatever you got to send by text. And that way they get in the voting booth. If they're somebody that wants to do the right thing and vote right but doesn't pay attention to the details like the language in it, that's something that most people appreciate. I've got about 120 people on my phone that I send a reminder to on some of these issues just so they don't get in there like 20% of the people did last time and make a big mistake. And that's what I
remember. Yeah, they have it right this time, and they still have the what's the group there out of the Ship Creep group trying to shut it down, sue them, yada yada yada.
Yeah, and they're using dark money. They are the dark.
They are the dark money. Yeah, they opened it up for dark money. My God. Yeah.
But they use that term dark money, and it's kind of like they want to scare people into voting against. Oh, dark money's bad, which it is. But dark money. Oh yeah, but they're the dark money side. That's look where the money's coming from on this. It's
outside.
It's outside. It's no different than Peltola's race. You look at that. Last time, she outspent Begich 3-1.
No, it was like 8-1.
They're talking 5-1 at least this time. They're going to have. So you're going to see a barrage of. You're going to learn things about Daniel S. Sullivan that probably kicked puppies the whole time he was growing up. Like that.
Was a horrible Marine.
Anyway, just remember S for Sullivan, J for jerk.
Oh God!
It's real easy. S for senator, J for jerk.
There you go. Oh my goodness. Anyway, now you don't have to answer this, but who are you looking at voting for governor?
It's in those top four. I really there's things I like about a lot of them. I've met all of them. I know. Well, not Begich. I'm sorry. Three of the top four. It's really tough, and you know what I kind of my attitude is. I want to see who gets to the top four before I really get out there and get excited and support or write a check or something.
Because yeah,
I like somebody that can do more with less. That's my political belief. I like conservative politics. I like conservative folks that are fiscally conservative.
I would say fiscally conservative, fiscally responsible. Being conservative doesn't mean that all the social issues. I'm conservative on the fiscal side, and I believe in putting more money into the capital budget than they've been doing versus the social programs that have failed in the state of Alaska.
Well, and the problem they failed is they never anticipate the real downstream costs of those things. And they, they get all excited, hey, we want an animal shelter, we want whatever. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, boy, there's some costs we hadn't anticipated. Now we've got to hire three more people. And it's just... So fiscal conservatives recognize that, and I appreciate that. So I will probably vote for three or four on my final list. I will probably vote for the one that convinces me more that they're fiscal conservative.
I've
told every governor this. I've told them every single governor when they get in, until you get rid of the use it or lose it policy of government, state divisional, everybody, they want the same. Your last year's budget, so they got to go out and spend it to prove that's wrong. That's so wrong, and that's what's killing it. And you got to somehow get rid of that. You need to incentivize the boots on the ground. Give 10% more to the division that can be the most frugal.
Yeah,
everybody's trying, and somebody gets a little kicker, or give them a financial incentive personally for those workers. Have a contest in every division. What do you see as boots on the ground?
I
would make more sense.
I spent the weekend in Talkeetna, and is there a lot with Ryan Sheldon, who's running for state senate. He's running against George Raschauer.
Huh?
And he said the best thing. What he does is he looks at a person, and he invariably gets an answer of, no, I don't. But he asks him, do you like the state government for the last 10 years? What would you say to that?
They asked him if he liked
No, do you like the Alaska state government over the last 10 years? Do you like where it's gone, what it's done?
No.
That's what he asks everyone. Then he goes, then vote for me because George Raschauer has been here for 10 years and I'll do some changing. I thought that was great.
You know, and it's terrible because, you know, you can agree with the governor, you can agree with a certain senator, you know, and you like the way they vote, but they get in, they play these games, not necessarily the people you're really supporting. Some of them are still trying, but they're outnumbered.
Yeah.
They're just outnumbered.
Yeah. Now then, this is what I do for the Fairbanks. Do you like our state government for the last 20 years? Craig?
No.
Then get rid of Senator Kawasaki.
Yeah. Yeah. That's easier said than done.
I know it.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's so apropos.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, when he does retire, he needs to go into he should teach a class.
He'll go into an old folks home when he retires.
How to campaign from your office.
Yeah, and not accomplish anything.
No, I told you.
Except for being reelected.
Speed limits were reduced 5 miles an hour in construction zones. Come on, don't.
Oh, I'm sorry for that. Now. Okay, buddy, I'm going to take a break here. You take care, okay?
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, and Fairbanks, when we come back, hopefully we'll get through with Senator Mike Kronk. And we'll be back. You take care.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Trump hanging out with the Turkish president ahead of the NATO summit there this week. The president again expressing disappointment with other NATO countries as they have not supported a U.S. conflict with Iran. He emphasizes he probably wouldn't have even attended the summit if it wasn't in Turkey.
We did something in Iran. We don't need anybody's help. I didn't even want their help. But before I asked, they said they wouldn't be there. And we've invested trillions of dollars in NATO.
Several European countries, including the UK, argue NATO is a defensive alliance. A high-rise building under renovation in Manhattan is in danger of collapsing after inspectors discovered a couple of its columns had buckled. Multiple floors were sagging. New York Mayor Zoran Mamdani says this building is slowly shifting.
Every few minutes, we are looking at a new assessment of the structure and of the possibilities and the options that we have in front of us.
People in the area have been evacuated. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports the U.S. Coast Guard is continuing its investigation into a helicopter crash on Harbor Mountain near Sitka, while military recovery crews prepare to remove the wreckage from a hazardous site that remains closed to the public. The crash happened June 22nd during a training flight on the south side of Harbor Mountain at an elevation of about 1,500 feet, according to the Coast Guard. The agency said four crew members involved in the crash were treated for minor injuries at Mount Edgecombe Medical Center and released the same day. The Coast Guard said the crash damaged several trees but did not damage nearby trail or road systems. Investigators have not released a cause yet. The Coast Guard said its investigation team includes Coast Guard members and civilian experts, and no additional information about the cause is available while the review continues. A salvage plan is expected to begin this week, led by the Alaska Army National Guard's downed aircraft recovery team out of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. The U.S. Forest Service has closed the area and public access is prohibited.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
It's almost illegal to have out-of-town guests or family in the summer and not take them to Chena Hot Springs Resort. Hiking, fishing, four-wheeling, horseback riding, and more. Plus amazing food, fantastic tours, and of course you gotta soak under the midnight sun and the healing waters of the hot springs. These are your hot springs, Fairbanks, so share them this summer with family and friends. Book your stay now or just swing out for the day at Chena Hot Springs Resort. Book your relaxing stay now online at ChenaHotSprings.com.
Got tall, troubled trees around the house in hard-to-reach places? Not anymore, thanks to the latest toy from Fairbanks Stump Grinders, the Spider Lift. Sure, it looks like something right out of a Transformer movie, but this creature lifts a bucket as high as 90 feet, can climb stairs, even fit through a 36-inch gate, allowing the pros at Fairbanks Stump Grinders to take down just about any tree, anywhere. You gotta check out the Spider Lift, thanks to Fairbanks Stump Grinders. Dropping, chopping, grinding, and chipping. Call 45-STUMP or online at FairbanksStumpGrinders.com.
If you want to show off that summer smile, it all starts with a visit to Affordable Dental Care. And like the name says, yep, it's affordable. And nowadays, few things are more important than saving money. Affordable Dental Care does both. In a warm, friendly atmosphere, it's the perfect dental clinic for the entire family. From cleanings to crowns, they got you covered. That's Affordable Dental Care. See all of their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care, just off 14th Avenue, right downtown.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Mike Kronk on the phone with me, who's driving around Alaska. Senator, how you doing?
I'm doing good, dude.
What milepost are you currently at, or where are you driving around at?
Oh, I'm still down at home, around Tokyo.
Oh, good for you. Any trap lines going this time of year?
No, just a little fishing.
Well, when's the next time you're due back in Juneau or Anchorage or wherever your committee to figure out the gas line bill is meeting?
I will be back in Juneau on Sunday on the 12th.
You sound enthusiastic, sir.
I'm trying to be. It's definitely been a frustrating process.
Well, you have... It seems, this is just me thinking, you have two schools of thought. One school of thought is have a gas line bill, and the other school of thought is redo the entire structure of taxation on natural resources, specifically oil and gas. Is that about right?
In a way, it's about right. It's like two different subjects, and I think I stated this, in committee, the other day. It's like, we have a gas bill and we have a tax bill. How about we just have a gas bill? And if you want a tax bill, you can come back next year and figure out a tax bill. But, that's not going to happen. So we've got to try to make do best we can when we get back to the conference.
So what's your percentage of getting a tax bill past the governor? Or for concurrence from both parties?
That's the hard part. I believe the gas bill that we just, kind of cleaned up and came out with, last week in the working draft. Yes, it works for the gas. You even have that S-curve tax, and that's why we're going back. I don't know what the governor's going to do. Heck, he vetoed my bill last week.
Saw that. Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah, for no reason, but okay. But I can't assume what he's going to do, but so I'm going to do my best to, work. If we're going to put in a bill, let's make it as harmless as possible. I think some of the senators in control they realize some of the issues, and, my whole thing is let's present a gas bill to Glen Farne, and let's make them say yes or no, right? It shouldn't be us, the legislature, saying yes or no. Let's give them the bill and say yes or no, right? Because, I mean, the bill doesn't guarantee the gas line's going to be built. Still, Glen Farne has to put it together to do this. And it's really, I'll be honest, it's beyond me how Anchorage legislators, not every one of them, are against this gas line bill. Let's say they're not, but they are, because they all know that you cannot build this gas line without major tax, or, you know, major, you know, AVT tax structure versus the mill rate structure. They know it's not even feasible, but they're just like, well, just let them build it, you know, if they can build it. And I'm like, it's absurd, because South Central is where the gas is needed right away. Fairbanks is, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time if we do this with a spur line. So it's not so impactful right away, but my mind's blown that these people are doing everything they can to stop this. I mean,
well, you know,
let's wait till January.
Yeah, it's a couple thoughts there. Some of them down there just won't give this governor a win for anything, and they will imperil the state of Alaska because of that. The personality differences, and this just sad. It's just sad. I'm Italian.
You put your
personality differences aside.
Yeah. I said one of our hangups is DDS, and they're like, what the heck's DDS? I said, that's Dunleavy Derangement Syndrome. It's real. That's a real real thing. So
got to remember that. It's not a dental doctor society or whatever it is. You know, it's not being, you're a dentist. Oh, my goodness. You know, I saw that he did veto your boundary commission, and I was looking at that, and I thought to myself, you don't live in a borough, yet you want to give people who don't live in a borough a vote on boundary commission, because usually what happens is, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. And usually what happens is, you know, say the city of Fairbanks is annexing or having something that they're leaving, you know, boundary commissions are few and far between, so it's not going to be big. But if someone's going to be putting together a new borough, then they're probably from an unincorporated area, and they should have a voice.
Correct. It's that simple. And then the only other change was, the governor gets to pick all of them anyways. But he specifically gets to pick the chair. And the other piece of the language was, let the board pick the chair, like almost every other board or commission. They choose who their chair is. I mean, Department of Education, the Education Board, they choose their chair. So that was those two things, right? And it was, you know, it's just, I guess, you know, I could say it's, you know, maybe.
He has protected the power of the governor is what he did.
Yeah, that's what he says, but it's more of a, hey, you overrode me on education funding, so we'll take it back.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, okay, now you're even, but you know you're. Yeah, you might have one other thing, and that's a gas line bill.
I'm still down there working. I was just in his, you know, like 2 days before that, I'm in his office for 45 minutes. Like, okay, what's our scenario? What do you, you know, where do you want me to drive? You know, my energy. In this bill, right? You know, I literally will put everything aside. I know the importance of the gas line.
Yeah.
This is huge for Alaska, but it's monstrous for interior Alaska. Like, it's game changer. I'm going to put everything aside. I don't care whose name's on it. Let's get this done, right? So that's just me, though. I'm going to do whatever I can for Alaska. Whether
as always, when you ran 2 years ago, who did you run against?
I forgot.
That's why I like you. It's not a current event anymore.
Nope. That's in the past.
Oh, man. But, you know, so you're down there. You got, you know, after this next election, you got another 2 years to think about if you want to stay or go or do something else.
Yep.
But a gas line, I would not want to be remembered as a person who didn't pass it, who because of me, this didn't happen. And, you know, Wilikowski, I'm looking at him. Who, you know, Bert Stedman, where'd this come from? I'm looking at you. Who's the other rural senator that's on the committee there with you?
Lyman Hall.
Yeah, Lyman. You know, guys, this is on you. I will always remember this. This is on you.
Yeah.
Now, we can all look at the semantics of this. You know, we're looking at being able to purchase a 25% stake in this if we want. We don't have to, but if we want. We're getting an estimated, you know, $700 to $1 billion a year in revenue from taxes. Plus, we get our royalty value.
Yep.
And then, just like the oil pipeline, they've changed the taxation on that 17 times in its history. So this isn't a one and done. Let it get going. Let it, you know, let it be built and operating for 4 or 5 years. See how it is operating in taxation revenue. And, you know, it's going to be pretty easily to see what the overall generation of this cost is versus its income. And you can make decisions from there, but get it going.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know, and I think Senator Stedman and Senator Hoffman are, you know, I think they're on board. They just have a difficult caucus, you know, because they have Bill Will and Geisel that are just seem adamant. I mean, Bill Will has been throwing this, we're giving away $5 billion a year, man. I went to everybody I know, revenue. They're like, we have no idea where he's picking that number from.
Yeah, it's coming out of his back. It's coming out of his backside.
Right, you know, and he knows as well as anybody else that you can't build this with the current mill rate. That's why it hasn't been built. That's why, you know, we're you know, it still would, you know, generate $26 billion for the state over 30 years. Billions of dollars for, you know, certain boroughs and, you know, like Kenai, North Slope. And then it, you know, puts money into an energy fund for rural Alaska. And it's going to help Alaska. I mean, it's so frustrating. Like, you know, if it was a big lucrative project, we'd already have a gas line. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been done.
Exactly. We got to do what we can to see if Glenfarne can put it together and get it built. And this is imperative for Alaska. If we can't have cheap energy, people will just continue to leave.
True.
Cheap energy is the baseline for our whole state, our future. So
we're going to take a commercial break, okay? And when we come back, you're going to play Dave's Lotto. You've been warned. Fairmix will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
When traveling through Italy, I always recommend finding a local restaurant serving authentic recipes, fresh ingredients, and unforgettable hospitality. Today, that restaurant happens to be in Fairbanks.
Welcome to Giraldo's Restaurant, where Italian favorites like pasta, pizza, chicken parmesan, seafood specialties, and decadent desserts transport you straight to the old country.
The views may be Alaska, but the flavors are pure Italy.
Skip the passport and visit Giraldo's Restaurant. Your Italian adventure is waiting.
The road is where you make it with the Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek All-Terrain Tire from GCR. Rugged Trek's aggressive tread design delivers the off- and on-road performance you need and the look you want. Versatile with comfortable all-season ride and superior traction even on snow and ice. Take control of Alaska's driving conditions. For your light truck or SUV, buy your Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek at GCR. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan road, Van Horn at Cushman.
It's Toyotomi time at the Woodway. Toyotomi's newest lineup of heaters comes standard with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Control your home's comfort remotely from your smartphone. Now until November 30th, get up to $250 back when you replace your old Toyo stove or monitor with a Toyotomi heater. Whether it's new construction, supplementing your current heat, or upgrading an older model, care for your family. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway. Select Toyo Stove trade-in until September 30th. Monitor trade-in now until November 30th. Call the Woodway for details.
It's Derby season, which means it's time to head to Valdez and Fish. Listen to KFAR Radio Monday through Saturday at 6:20, 7:20, or 11:15 for the Valdez Fishing Report. You'll get updates on the current standings, along with the latest tips, hot spots, and techniques, and the stories from the anglers in Valdez. The Valdez Fishing Report, proudly brought to you by Century Hardware. Don't miss the Valdez Fishing Report 3 times a day, Monday through Saturday, on News Talk 1450. for the interior, KFAR 97.5 FM and 660 AM.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance of thunderstorms
today.
Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs around 82. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance of thunderstorms, 55. Chance for showers tomorrow. High of 72, cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have State Senator Mike Cronk on the phone with us. How you doing, sir?
Good, sir.
You get any roadkill yet?
No, we still like fall time, winter time.
Yeah, that's what I'd say, too, if I was a state senator from Tok and I was driving around. Oh, I haven't ran over anything, Dave. Nope, not a bit.
Not yet.
So, we're going to play Dave's Lottery, and it's the gubernatorial primary is Tuesday, August 18th, and we're going to allow 1 week's worth of mail-in candidate ballots to come in, and then whoever gets it right, which is the four top finishers in places 1, 2, 3, and 4, I'm buying them, hopefully Perry Wally is with KFAR, a pizza night at Bobby's, because they're a sponsor of mine on Fairbanks Foodie. So I'm, you know, hey, you bring your own, you simple as that. So with that in mind, these are the 8 that I think have out of the 17 that have a chance of being on the final four, and it's an alphabetical order. I have Begich, Bishop, Bronson, Crum, Halala, Taylor, Walker, and Wilson. So, Mr. Cronk, what are you thinking? Who's your number one?
Are you asking my top? I'll give you my top four.
Yeah, exactly. In a row. Has to be in a row. Not who you want. But who you think would be the best, not who you're voting for, but just from demographics, advertising, what you've seen, you're playing a lottery. So who's your number one?
Do you want me to pick who I think will get the most votes in the primary?
Who's going to be number one, number two, number three, and number four?
I think the way it's set up, I would say Begich will be number one.
Okay.
I'm just looking at total votes.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of them is really difficult. I think it's going to be really close, but it's going to be the three Bs: Bishop, Bernadette, Bronson. I couldn't tell you what order that'll be in, but
I'm putting them down: Begich, Bishop, Wilson, and Bronson.
Yep.
Okay. So you're going with the four Bs.
The four Bs.
That's what Craig Campo did earlier. He went the four Bs. He went Begich, Bishop, Bronson, and Bernadette Wilson. So you switched your three and four. And that's a fun thing about the lottery. You know, at a racetrack, you got the trifecta here. In a gubernatorial race, because ranked choice voting, we have the quadfecta.
Yeah.
So what the heck? And, I removed JKT off there. I just don't think he has the overall aspect of name recognition statewide. I removed Shelley Hughes. I just don't think she's strong in the Mat-Su, but she has a lot of strong candidates running from the Mat-Su in Crum, Halala, Taylor, and no one's put Walker in yet, though. This is one of those things where no one thinks Governor Walker has in the top four, and I think overall he might take away from Begich a little bit. So a little bit of thought, discussion, provocation there.
Yeah, I think he's going to take votes from not only Begich but probably Click also.
Yeah.
But he's just at this point, he's just a spoiler. It's like, Bill is like, I mean, I know people try to talk him out of it. I don't know if it's an ego thing.
It's an ego thing. He's only run 5 times now.
Yeah, you're not getting enough votes to be in the top
4. You think he's going for the state record of I've ran the most times for governor?
maybe. I guess we could put him in the book.
And then is he running as a Democrat, Republican, or Independent?
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
Yeah. I like him a lot. But again, I don't see anyone on this list that I dislike. Personally.
No, that's the sad thing is people ask me, it's like, you guys, I actually personally like almost every single person that is running, and I know them all, I don't personally think any of them would do a terrible job, but it's just like you said, it's like if I got to pick who I think is going to win, I got to, use my non-political genius that I don't have and say, here's who I think may be able to get there.
Yeah, this is why I thought about this. And I go, I'm going to have a lottery because everyone might be able to pick number one or number two, but 1, 2, 3, and 4 in a row?
Yeah.
That's where it's going to get interesting.
Yep.
Huh. Well, heck. So, do you drive to Anchorage, a flat of Anchorage?
Yeah, most of the time.
Okay. How are your dogs doing?
Good.
How are your wonderful daughters doing?
They're doing really good. They all my last two daughters. I had two daughters that had kids before, but my last two had one in November and then a day after Easter. So, two granddaughters. So,
let me get this straight. You have four daughters, and now you have granddaughters.
Yeah, I have three granddaughters now.
Where's the guys at there, Senator?
I have three grandsons, too.
Oh, okay.
I win a little bit. Yeah. I win all across the board because I'm thankful and blessed with my four daughters. So.
Oh, man. So what is the, you're in a very interesting position here being a member of this group of six to try and figure this out. How has the leadership been from the House president, excuse me, the House chairman?
Representative Schrage, he's done a good job. I'll be honest, the thing is no different than being on a finance conference committee. If you're in the minority, they kind of just push you off to the side and say, hey, the majority will get together and we'll pretty much put something together and you'll like it or you won't, right? I mean, I've been pretty vocal against that. And I'll say it again, is like, if you have a conference committee of six people, all six people need to sit down in a room and, you can vote 4-2 every time. That's cool. But don't push me off into a corner and say, well, hey, here's the budget. You can object to anything in there, but we already pretty much agreed we have the votes to kill anything that you want. And I don't, and it's just because we've always done it that way. And it really frustrates me when people say that. It's like, that's not the way we should do it. I think Alaskans deserve, a clearer picture of how this works. And if you only have six people, I don't think that's asking too much to have six people in a room and seeing which direction we want to go. If you have a conflict, vote on it. Okay? That's how it works. I'm good with that.
Well, also, the House had a very strong bipartisan bill.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 24 to 5 with one person absent?
No, it was 30. It was 34 to 5.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. 34 to 5 out of 40. Oh. Very strong, very bipartisan. And you had a Senate bill that failed the first time, barely passed the second time. And so, Bert Stedman, you're one of the smarter people in the room. Take a look at the fans or the people in the bleachers, which is the House and the remainder of the Senate. And think that you're going to try and get a concurrence vote that the governor doesn't veto. Otherwise, you've wasted 2 months of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up, too. Let's say we get a bill out, and let's say the Senate passes it, and then the House doesn't concur. Then what do you do next? you know, the governor calls back another special session, so now you get another conference committee. Well, here's what the next conference committee is going to be. It's going to be Will Lukowski, Kathy Giesel. Okay, how much better off were you?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Kathy said it on the news the other day. She was just wants it to wait till January, you know, which is not acceptable. You know, there's some deadlines and stuff that Glenn Farm and AGCDC, you know, want to get rolling. So, I'm going to stay optimistic. I think we're going to come up with something that is workable. Now, whether people, you know, I'll guarantee you this. Mike's not going to be voting no on a gas line bill, however it comes out of there.
Yeah.
Because that just says no to the whole project. And I'm not going to be that person.
Yeah, then let Glenn Farm say no.
Thank you. Exactly. Let Glenn Farm say we can't do it. Fair enough. Okay, cool. Now we do have the House passed a good bill, right? I mean, they did. It was 34-5, but there was cleanup, and the Senate did that cleanup. And what we did on our side, even in the final draft right now, cleaned it up, and it's workable for Glenn Farm and AGDC. I know that for a fact. I talked to them. So what we have right now is workable. It's just the S Corp tax part.
Hold on. I thought they want to. Tax on the real estate tax on the line itself.
Nope. We got the volumetric tax in there.
Okay, good. So that's just the S Corp. Now it's just the S Corp.
It's just the S Corp tax, yep.
Okay. Well, if you can bring it all back with just that, you know, I'd vote it up too. I really would. Hey, look at.
Yeah.
Our time is over, sir. Thank you. And you know we're going to do this again.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, buddy. Godspeed. Thank you for representing Alaska so well. And as I always tell you, be yourself. Be yourself, because that's what Alaska needs there, Senator. You take care.
Thank you.
Yep. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. Y'all have a great day.